Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
It's Saturday, the 6th of April. I'm Kira Evans, and this was a week that saw pressure grow on Israel after drone strike deaths, NATO celebrating its 75th anniversary, Rishi struggling on BBC local radio, and MasterChef making a milestone.
Grab a cup of something hot, put up your feet, and get up to speed on the seven biggest stories of the week. This is the Standout 7 from the Smart 7.
It's news,
but not the news.
On Tuesday morning, it was reported that seven aid workers, including three people said to be British, were killed in an Israeli attack in Gaza. They were working for food charity World Central Kitchen and were coordinating food drops to the area. It came on the same day that Israeli planes bombed the Iranian consulate in Damascus, apparently killing a senior commander of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, Mohammad Reza Zahidi, who was among several reported killed in the strike. The weekend also saw Israeli troops finally withdraw from Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza after a prolonged operation, which they say resulted in the arrest of more than 500 Hamas militants. There were also protests across Israel as tens of thousands of people joined the families of hostages in calling for the resignation of the PM. He also underwent an operation for a hernia on Monday evening, but before he entered hospital, he was continuing to promise that an assault on Rafah is next.
We will continue with our operations in the Gaza Strip, Lebanon, and more distant places, and we will continue giving humanitarian aid. It will take time, but we will go in, and we will eradicate all the terrorists, because there is no victory without doing that.
The seven aid workers who were killed by a drone strike in Israel were named on Tuesday. They included three Britons, James Henderson, James Kirby and John Chapman, who all worked for the security team for the World Central Kitchen charity. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu admitted that his forces hit innocent people.
Unfortunately, there was a tragic case of our forces unintentionally hitting innocent people in the Gaza Strip. This happens in wartime. We are thoroughly looking into it.
Prime Minister Rishi Sunak held a call with the Israeli PM on Tuesday evening and demanded a thorough and transparent independent investigation. US President Biden also spoke out, saying that he was outraged and heartbroken and that Israel is not doing enough to protect aid workers. Several charities have halted operations in Gaza as they say delivering aid safely is no longer feasible. Juliet Tuma from the UN's Palestinian Refugee Agency says it's only the latest of many incidents since the war began.
We at UNRWA alone have lost 176 of our team members, and this is really, really very sad, because the World Central Kitchen was delivering food supplies to people in need.
The death of seven aid workers in Gaza after multiple drone strikes by Israeli forces continued to cause shockwaves across the world on Wednesday. The founder of the World Central Kitchen charity, Chef Jose Andres, says that the IDF had clearly targeted the convoy systematically car by car, even though the convoy had notified the Israeli military of their plans. The three British men who were killed, James Henderson, John Chapman and James Kirby, were providing security for the aid workers through a company called Solace Global, and director Matthew Harding paid tribute to their courage and dedication.
They were extremely experienced, very professional and thoroughly excellent operators.
James Kirby's cousin Adam Maguire paid tribute to his courage and determination to help those in need.
He was selfless, he would help anybody, and this is one of the reasons he felt he had to go and work with World Central Kitchen. He knew he had to go. His friends were telling him that this is probably a bad place to go. He knew he had to go and help people, and that was James all over.
The aftermath of the drone attack has seen political pressure on Israel escalate sharply. After condemnation by UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and US President Joe Biden, Israel promised an independent and transparent investigation into what happened. And with over 200 deaths of aid workers, along with medical personnel and journalists, revelations that Israel had been using AI to determine Hamas targets and then using so-called dumb bombs to destroy family homes has caused grave concern. UK Foreign Minister Lord David Cameron was attending the NATO meeting in Brussels, and he said the need for an inquiry is urgent.
I welcome what the Israeli Foreign Minister said yesterday about a full
urgent and transparent inquiry into how this dreadful event was allowed to happen. And we want to see that happen very, very quickly.
Lib Dem leader Sir Ed Davey echoed a new YouGov poll which showed 59% of voters believe that Israel is violating human rights in Gaza and 56% who think arms sales to Israel should be banned.
I really think it now is the time to end exports of arms to Israel. It does look like Israel has broken humanitarian law, and we really shouldn't be exporting arms to any country that breaks international humanitarian law.
US President Joe Biden held a 30-minute call with Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday evening, their first call since the drone strikes that killed seven aid workers. Biden emphasized the need for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and warned that future support for Israel from the US will depend on seeing concrete action to protect aid workers and civilians on the ground. Israel had agreed to open the Erez crossing to speed up the arrival of aid. Thursday saw over 600 lawyers and academics sign a 17-page letter warning that the UK is in danger of breaching international law by continuing to supply weapons. And London Mayor Sadiq Khan also called for an immediate halt.
I think the government should be pausing all sales of weapons to Israel. Rishi Sunak claims to be chums with Benjamin Netanyahu. Where's the evidence? We're using that influence to put pressure on the Israeli government.
UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights Professor Ben Saul says the attack on aid workers is disturbing and is a potential breach of international law, given that the aid workers had communicated their route in advance.
It's not just deliberate killing of civilians or humanitarian workers that is a war crime. It's also recklessly doing so by not undertaking all of the precautions required to verify what the target is.
Easter was another grim weekend for the NHS as a study by the Royal College of Emergency Medicine revealed that more than 250 patients per week could be dying unnecessarily because of long queues at accident and emergency departments. The study looked at the cases of 1.5 million people who waited more than 12 hours to be seen in 2023. And President of the RCEM, Dr. Aidan Boyle, says it's deeply worrying.
Because our hospitals are so full, the efficiency within our hospital suffers and we end up with people taking long stays in an emergency department. This then translates that they have a longer stay when they're admitted to hospital because it takes them longer to get better. We're in a situation now where getting admitted to hospital will make people worse.
One of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's five pledges was to shorten the NHS waiting list, but this February saw the highest level of visits to A&E on record. Enterprise Minister Kevin Hollingrake says that the government is adding more resources, but things like the ongoing strikes haven't helped.
There are huge demand side pressures. It's the same in England, which we run, but also Labour in Wales, exactly the same thing you're seeing. So this is not easy to get on top of because of the demand side.
The week saw more pressure on Prime Minister Rishi Sunak over NHS waiting list and a new Tory backbench rebellion over the criminal justice bill. Undeterred, Rishi set out on a local radio media round on Tuesday, making an appearance on BBC Radio Tees, which serves Teesside, County Durham and North Yorkshire. Presenter Amy Oakden had asked her listeners what questions they wanted the PM to answer, but he definitely misread the room.
When will there be a general election?
I've answered that question many times in the last few weeks.
So when will be the general election? Can you give us a date on BBC Radio Tees this morning, Prime Minister?
No.
Why not? Why is that funny? Sorry. Why are you laughing about that?
He got a similar question on BBC Newcastle, which he also failed to answer, none of which is helping to give an impression of a leader in control. In fact, Labour have now launched a Coast of Chaos website, which is busy tracking the amount of money wasted by the ongoing U-turns in government, including the HS2 cancellation. Kay Burley didn't seem too impressed, however, when she grilled Labour's Pat McFadden.
The Prime Minister could have had an election on the 2nd of May. He's had 4 years plus since the last election. And what's the point of waiting another 6 months? What is the purpose of
Why did Gordon Brown do it?
And while Suella Braverman may have left the Home Office, her plan to criminalise homelessness lives on, in spite of a government pledge to end rough sleeping in the life of this Parliament. And the Criminal Justice Bill includes new powers for police to fine, jail or move on those sleeping rough. But elements of the bill, which include provisions for arresting someone who smells bad, have sparked a mini rebellion within the Tory party, with up to 40 MPs now believed to be against the bill. And there have already been questions over whether or not the legal provisions on nuisance begging are far too broad. Matthew Downey from homelessness charity Crisis says he's not surprised at the backlash.
When we first saw this policy, we thought it can't be real. It's so ridiculous. It's so counterproductive. It's so cruel. So I'm not surprised to see a big backbench and cross-party revolt against it.
And with the local and mayoral elections due to take place on May 2nd, Thursday saw the Green Party launch their official campaign. Co-leaders Carla Jenner and Adrian Ramsey were in Bristol for the launch with high hopes of cashing in on the Tory election poll misery. The Greens currently have 760 seats across England and Wales, and they're hoping to win more, not just in their traditional heartlands. One of their biggest targets is taking control of Bristol Council, and their strategy is to focus on local government rather than just green policies.
Whether it's hospitals or schools or bins, the most important things are done locally. We want to see a reverse in the decline of local council funding, and we will fight for the investment we need for community services.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky signed a new law on Wednesday that sees the conscription age in Ukraine lowered to 25. The two-year drop is intended to help boost Ukraine's ranks as it faces into what could be a difficult spring as Russia continues to push its manpower advantage on the battlefield. NATO foreign ministers began a two-day meeting in Brussels on Wednesday, which is a precursor to July's NATO summit, which takes place in Washington. In the absence of American funding and weapons, there's a new proposal which would see a 100 billion euro fund created to support Ukraine over the next 5 years. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg is keen to give long-term support as Russia's war continues.
Every day of delay in a decision in the United States on providing more support to Ukraine has consequences on the battlefield. That's one of the reasons why the Ukrainians now have to ration ammunition.
Thursday marked the 75th anniversary of NATO as the NATO foreign ministers gathered in Brussels to celebrate the occasion. In the short term, there's been an urgent call for more air defences as Russia continues to hammer cities across Ukraine. And NATO members have been asked to return home and see what additional systems they can ship in to the front line. Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg insisted that NATO's support must be practical and must involve a plan for membership.
At Vilnius, we agreed to bring Ukraine closer to NATO. We are working together to cement Ukraine's path towards NATO membership. This matters for Ukraine's security and for our security.
Ukraine's Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba was also present at the meeting and spoke directly to the US Secretary of State Anthony Blinken about the urgent need for more of the US Patriot missile systems. Blinken was equally steadfast in his determination that Ukraine has a future in NATO.
Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit is to help build a bridge to that membership.
Monday saw Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling issue a series of bizarre social media posts urging the Scottish police to come and arrest her for her views on transgender people. It was sparked by the introduction of new legislation in Scotland intended to cut down on hate crime and adds a new offence of stirring up hatred in relation to gender, age, disability or religion. Rowling was objecting partly because women are not specifically included, although new legislation on misogyny is on the way. And First Minister Humza Yousaf says he's confident the police will be able to deal with the legislation effectively.
The police deal with vexatious complaints on probably a daily basis, and therefore will undoubtedly, if there are vexatious complaints, be able to deal with that in a way that again is sensible. This bill is about protecting people against that rising tide of hatred we see far too prevalent in our society nowadays.
The Scottish Police have said they won't be arresting or charging Rowling, and David Kennedy from the Scottish Police Federation was appealing for the public to be rational and practical about how they make use of the legislation.
Don't cause havoc with trust in police in Scotland. It certainly will. Reduce that, and look, police officers, we don't make the law, and it's hoped that members of the public, when they're making these complaints, realise that at the end of the day it's down to the courts to decide what happens.
Still to come on the stand at 7, a powerful earthquake hits Taiwan and MasterChef celebrates 20 years in the kitchen.
Right after this.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back.
There was a shocking incident in Finland on Tuesday which saw one child killed and two more injured in a school shooting in the city of Vantaa, which is to the north of the capital Helsinki. All of the children involved were aged 12 and the suspected shooter was also aged 12, who fled the scene and was later arrested by police and placed in the care of social services. The child who was arrested was carrying a gun which is believed to belong to one of their relatives. Finland is a country with widespread gun ownership, but while guns are strictly licensed, anyone aged over 15 can apply for a permit to use someone else's weapon. A national day of mourning has been declared on Wednesday, and local journalist Vial Okland says questions will need to be asked about how this happened.
Of course, this maybe will raise some questions about our gun regulation, but we have very strict gun policy. I believe that in this case, thinking about how this relative of this kid had his guns stored.
That was a live news show on Taiwan's news channel as the inland nation was hit by the strongest earthquake it's seen since 1999. The quake, measured at 7.4 on the Richter scale, destroyed buildings and caused power outages and landslides. The impact was also felt in Japan and the Philippines as tsunami warnings were triggered. At least 10 people have been killed and over 1,000 injured as rescue teams continue to track down more than a dozen who are still missing. Social media was full of images of buildings in the city of Hualien tipping over onto their sides, and part of the headland on Turtle Island slid into the sea. Journalist James Chatter lives in Taiwan and was at home in his flat when the quake hit.
Shaking was pretty strong, but not as bad as the worst affected areas in Hualien, which is on the east coast of Taiwan. That's where the images kind of coming up on social media right now are a bit more troubling. There's been some pretty big landslides and the four deaths have been reported in that part of Taiwan.
Much like gin and tonic, John Turode and Greg Wallace are not particularly great on their own. But when you put them together, something almost magical happens. Their recipe for success has seen MasterChef reach 20 seasons, and they've been on the show since 2005. This year's edition has just kicked off on BBC, and to celebrate, they're on air three nights a week. You can expect all the usual high pressure and culinary daring, and Greg says it's right to celebrate the show.
Well, we're 20 years old, right? So we should have a bit of an event. We should have a bit of a party, a bit of a celebration. And no better way than to welcome back some of the people that have made the competition, the show, what it is. And of course, have also had brilliant careers in the industry.
You've been listening to The Smart 7. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Hit that follow button and have a great day.
Give us 7 minutes, we'll give you the world.
Hey marketers, want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.